Not supposed to put my hands in the pockets. So, life is interesting. Sometimes overly so. But God is good. And it'll work out in the end. This is going to be old school. Usually we like to put the verses up top there. If you can grab your Bibles, the first verse we'll look at will be in 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'll let you do that. So, I'm not the usual guy. Kevin is our usual preacher. And he got sick. He has that long COVID. He got sick last week. And we knew it was a possibility. He might not be able to do it today. So we had a backup by the name of Jim Mendenhall, and he, former preacher, volunteered, but he was also ill. But by golly, he'd be well by this time, this week. And I volunteered to be the third string, because at the fifth Sunday of every month, there's about four a year. The leadership here tries to shake things up again a bit within ourselves, and we try new things, or we do things that we're not quite in our comfort zone. And so on the 29th, I am scheduled to give the sermon. And so I knew I'd be writing the sermon this week anyway. And on the 29th, I will preach on 2 Peter. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. But that'll be the 29th. On Friday, I talked with Jim, and he still wasn't quite well enough. But he did write up the sermon for us. And that's a great benefit. So I went over there and got it from him. And it's on 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. So, the secular world would say, "What a quinkydink! What a coincidence!" But as a Christian, I'd say there's something in there that God wants you to know. So we'll between these next 2 weeks, we'll get it to you. We'll see. Okay. The theme today is blessed assurance. Blessed assurance. Now, there are some who will say, "Lord, Lord," and unfortunately, God will say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." None here, I'm sure. But if you're a true follower of Jesus, inside and out, true follower of Jesus, you can have a blessed assurance that God wants good for you. And in the end, you can go to Him, and it'll be wonderful. Whatever trials life throws at you, God is with you. Whatever spiritual struggles you may encounter in this life, you can overcome them because God is on your side. Now, what does God want from you? What does God want from us? And the first verse that I wanted to look at, did I mention that I'm doing Jim's sermon, not my own. And so if it's good, it's God and Jim. If it's not, well, it's all me. But reading God's word is always good. So 1 Peter 1, verses 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit, Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One, who called you, be holy yourselves also in your behavior. And same chapter, just over to 16, the next verse. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. That's what God wants for you. That's what God wants from you. Be holy like God. Now that sounds like a hard thing, and in this world, that's a hard thing. But look at the benefits. Look at the benefits. 1 Peter 1, 3, a little bit before that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. We Christians, we followers of Jesus, have a living hope, an imperishable inheritance. We are protected by the power of God. And so rightly, we can rejoice in that assurance. With that in mind, let's go to our scripture for today, and that's 2 Peter 1, verses 1, starting with 1. 2 Peter 1, 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. In your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance to the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. That's a pretty cool passage. Let's go back to verse 1 and talk a little bit about that. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. So Simon Peter, this is an important guy. He, apostle of Jesus Christ, he literally studied at the feet of Jesus. He's the star of the first 12 books in the first 12 chapters in the book of Acts. He's the writer of this book. He's an important guy. And yet, though he rightly calls himself an apostle, he also calls himself a doulos, a slave, a bondservant, lowest of the low. And then he goes on to say, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, that's us. And it's actually more than it sounds. He's saying that our faith is of the same value. You look at the Greek, same value as ours, of his. So what I'm trying to say here is God values your faith individually as much as he values anyone else's, even Peter. He values your faith. He values you and your devotion to him. There's no big Christians and little Christians. There's just you and the God who loves you and wants you to be his. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus. Know God and Jesus, and you'll know grace. You'll know peace. He goes on in verse 3. Seeing that his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So, thanks to his divine power, through true knowledge. Now, that's not just knowing about God. That's true knowledge. That's through and through knowledge. That's knowing God, knowing Jesus inside and out, inside your character and your behavior. See, thanks to his divine power through true knowledge, we have everything in regards to being a Christian in this world. Thanks to his divine power, we have everything we need in regards to our devotion and worship of him. Okay, let's go on to verse 4. And I'm starting a little bit in 3. By his own glory and excellence. By these, that's going back to glory and excellence of God. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. By his own glory and excellence, not by our work, not by our position, but by his glory and excellence, by his grace, by his generosity, he has given us these precious and magnificent promises. There are many. One, life here more abundant. Another, life eternal. And that's just some of the promises that God gives to those who are devoted to him. By them, you may become partakers of the divine nature, and a result of which is escaping the corruption of the world. What does this partaking of the divine nature look like? What does having a true knowledge of God and Jesus inside and out look like? How can we be holy? Not as Peter is holy, not as Jim Mendenhall is holy, but as God is holy. How can we be holy like the Holy One? Okay. Let's look at verse 5. Now for this reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You look at that list there. Moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and especially love. These are internal qualities in you. These are godly characteristics. This is Peter's description, or it is a description by Peter of God's character. God is love. We are to diligently do our part in transforming our nature, our character, into his. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God, which is good and acceptable and perfect." Ephesians 4:15 says, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ." Therefore, brethren, be more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance to the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you as long as you practice these things. What are these things? Growing up in Christ, becoming more like Christ. As long as you're practicing these things diligently, becoming more moral like Jesus, becoming more self-controlled like Jesus, becoming more loving like Jesus. As long as you're practicing these things, you will never stumble. And what is more, eternity will be abundantly supplied to you. It's described as a narrow gate, but it's abundantly supplied to you as you're growing, as you're following Jesus, getting to know him inside and out. You have blessed assurance in our Lord, and you are highly valued. You don't need a title. You don't need to give sermons. You don't even need to plow the parking lot out there, though that's all helpful. What God is asking you to do is transform, to become more like him. We become more like God, and we will do God more godly things. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. Okay. God highly values you. You can be assured of that. If you haven't been baptized and dedicated your life to him, what's holding you back? His promises are magnificent. Well worth it. If you're thinking about dedicating yourself to God, talk to one of the elders, talk to one of the deacons, talk to any Christian, and we will help you along that way.